Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa Al Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, you will discuss issues, relevant questions, and other fields regarding the Islamic upbringing of children. And we would like to stress that the answers that we provide in this program are all based upon the narrations of the household of the Prophet and, of course, of the Prophet himself, and upon the Holy Quran, supplemented with scientific research. Joining us in the studio today is our dear friend, Sheikh Ali Himani, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for joining us.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's my pleasure to be here in your studio.
Today, dear Sheikh, I would like to talk to you about this very, perhaps strange phenomena we find in teenagers who are growing up. And that is, you find these teenagers wearing some of the most strange and outrageous clothing, like you can imagine. Like, even if I say spiky hair, somebody's going to one up me and say, I've seen worse. But at least spiky hair, torn jeans, or maybe they only wear black and they also put makeup on their faces and fingernails, and you know these trends that are...
The gothics,
the emo punks and all that. So what's up with that?
This is again one of the characteristics that exist in the teenage group by itself, right?
Right, yeah.
And the characteristic is being focused upon themselves, right? They're focused upon themselves rather than others. They're more focused on, like we mentioned, they're focused upon their own thoughts.
Like
they're focused upon
pleasing
their
themselves,
own,
you mean?
Not pleasing themselves, trying to find themselves. I always bring this back to the establishing their personality type. So they're trying to figure out their own thought processes. What do I think? What am I more inclined towards? What subjects do I like? Am I into science? Am I into maths? Am I into arts? And then from not just the logic and psychological and mental self-focused and self-centrism where they're trying to explore themselves, but also physically they're focused upon themselves because the never really paid attention to their body, but suddenly you see when they enter teenage, there are physical changes happening in them. Apart from the hormonal changes, apart from the puberty and all other things, they start noticing that their physical facial features are changing. Now the eyes are looking different, nose is growing a little more, lips are turning pinkish, or ears are growing bigger and start growing mustache and beard and stuff like that.
What?
Now they start paying attention to themselves, and you will find girls particularly spending a lot of time in front of the mirror. Why? Because they never paid attention to themselves earlier, but now they're going through some physical changes, and now they start comparing themselves with others, not from the point of view of their thought structure and their ideologies, but also from their physical structures.
Their appearances.
That
right.
What looks good on me? Does this color look good on me? Should I wear eyelashes? Should I wear eyeliner? Should I wear lip balm? Should I wear lip lash? All those things, you know, makeup, to what extent, what kind of a dress, toned jeans, untoned jeans, purple color, blue color.
So is their appearance, dear Sheikh, based upon the social norms in a society, you would say?
See, every society has its own social norms. But again, there's this element that we discussed in the earlier section, that the element of, if you don't listen to me, I am not going to listen to you. Therefore,
what?
If you tell me not to break rules, I am going to break rules. So if you tell me that a decent dressing is a jeans which is not torn, I'm going to wear a torn jeans. Why? Because you're not acknowledging me, I'm not going to acknowledge you. If you say a decent hairstyle is to comb your hair, I'm going to wear spiky hairs. Why? Because you don't respect me by not listening to me, by not giving me that respect and understanding. And I'm going to do the exact same with you, counter it with that same behavior.
Right. With that, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Sheikh, just before we went on a break, we were talking about one of the reasons why these teenagers, they dress in such a fashionista, outrageous, avant-garde, whatever you want to call it, manner, is because they're lashing out against not being heard or listened to. Would you also say, because humans, they are social creatures, they want to find cliques and people they click with? You mentioned if they love science, they're going to dress like with the T-shirts with slogans that are scientific or some insider jokes, and then they change their appearance, right?
Correct. It's not just about clicking, but it is also about being attractive enough to be part of the group.
Attractive. Right? Do you mean physical appearance?
Physically attractive. Okay. And that's why you will find the girls and the boys, both of them, experimenting with their clothing styles. Sometimes they want to wear the X kind of a shoe. Then they would want to low-waist jeans.
Right.
And, you know, high heels. All that combinations until they arrive at a conclusion that, oh, look, this kind of a t-shirt with this kind of a jeans looks good on me. Others might tell you, you look like a fool, but for him, he's like, I look good. So for him, his own opinion, his own understanding of himself matters a lot more than what others have to say. So I remember one of my friends, he tried jeans, t-shirts, spiky hairs, long hairs, and then he finally arrived at a conclusion that I want to wear the normal hair, but my dressing style would be that I would wear jeans, and I would wear a professional shirt that someone would wear to office when they go to work.
Right.
So he would buy those white and light blue shirts, and then he would wear a tie which would be, you know, pulled out, like, you know, you pull off your tie at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of dressing he would wear, and people would say that you look stupid, and like, no, I look cool. And
he was an office worker in essence.
He was a teenager, but he wanted to look grown up, you know, coming back from office with his tie pulled down, and he would spend money on buying different ties. At least he had a collection of 16 to 18 ties. Imagine a teenager who's a 17-year-old having 18 ties, not going to work at all, but he's like, I look cool in this. So he gave more importance to his own opinion than to others' opinion.
And about giving more importance and valuing their own opinion, at least in regards to their appearance, more than others, when we say others, isn't just others who are older than them?
Exactly. You rightly pointed out. I just realized when I said others, I was including a lot of people.
Because
into
they
it.
Value the opinion of the
age groups. That, you know, the same age group, if they tell them you're looking stupid, they would change.
That's the seal of approval.
And this brings back us to that point that which you mentioned, to click among the group, to associate with them, to be part of a social
construction.
Correct. Social structure of their own age group. So they will try and comb their hairs in a particular style that everybody else approves of. They would dress in a way that everybody else approves of. The eyeliners, the lip lashes, everything is based on what everybody else likes around.
Let's go ahead and take a quick break, dear Sheikh.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
Imam al-Sadiq عليه السلام said, Allah will be merciful to his servant for his intense love for his child.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Now, Sheikh, just before we went on a break, we said that teenagers, they value their own opinion more than what others say. When we say others, we mean the older grown-up,
the older generations,
and so on and so forth. But for me, when you say that they value their own opinions on certain matters, at least about dress and appearance, I see it as perhaps a golden opportunity for Muslim parents to instill the Islamic dress values and dress codes, wouldn't you say?
That would be an amazing step to take, but here's a major challenge, you know. Imagine the parents trying to instill Islamic dressing style, and imagine hijab, right? So they're trying to instill hijab in the girl, but when she goes to school, there's so much peer pressure from the friends around that they have their hair, left open, someone's coloring their hair, someone's wearing, little beads in their hair or butterflies in their hair, and everyone's got a different style, and everyone's showing off their hair and making more friends because they look more beautiful with that kind of a hairstyle, so on and so forth. And these people are so much under pressure that they have their hair hidden, they can't wear makeup according to Islam, no adornments, no jewelry, no bracelets.
It is very tough to be a religious Muslim
exactly.
in a non-Islamic country.
Exactly. So I don't see it as a golden opportunity here, but I would definitely say that the parents need to learn how to manage the situation, because you would have girls wearing torn jeans and tight tops, and we are telling our daughters not to look like them because it is not appropriate according to Islam, and they have this constant being laughed upon, peer pressure, including teachers. I had a case where one of the parents approached me and said, what do I tell my child? You know, she comes back home, she's just a 6-year-old or 7-year-old kid, and she comes back home and says, my teacher tells me that look, all the girls in the class, they have beautiful hair and they're showing their beautiful hair. Don't you feel like showing your beautiful hair to us?
Wow.
And this girl is like, what do I do? I do want to show my hair. But on the other hand, so is Islam really a religion of freedom? It's not giving me the freedom to show my hair. So is there really freedom in Islam? That's the kind of psychological pressure that is being built upon children right from that age of 6, 7. One might question that, why is a 7-year-old girl wearing hijab? Because if you wait till they reach puberty and bulugh and that time of wujub, and then you say, now wear hijab, that's not going to happen. You got to train them a little before. So there's a lot of psychological pressure that is built on the children right from that age. Someone might question that, why does a 7-year-old girl need to wear hijab? Like I mentioned, waiting till they reach puberty, that is too late to start hijab. They're going to come back and say, no, we're not going to wear hijab, especially when they're 9. You got to train them when they're 6, slowly, giving them that freedom. Wear it, don't wear it, it's up to you.
You want to make use of this phase where they're very stubborn, where they do not care about the opinions of others.
Exactly. So you need to mold them before that.
Yeah.
So right from age 6, you start training them till they reach 9. They're already adjusted to wearing hijab regularly, every day, every hour. And then it becomes comfortable. So like you mentioned, it's a golden opportunity. No, I wouldn't say golden opportunity, but I would definitely want to bring the point that pay special attention here. Learn how to handle the situation and manage it well. If you don't manage it well, it's going to backfire. And this very rebellious behavior from the child is going to lead you into the element where she's going to say, I'm not doing hijab anymore. Rather, I'm not Muslim at all, right? And that's how it might backfire. So you should know how to deal with this scenario.
Sheikh, would you say then perhaps that it is, if not impossible, very difficult to raise a religious, conservative Muslim girl in a Western society?
I don't want to call them conservative. See, somewhere, I don't know why people categorize them radical,
when
conservative.
When I say conservative, is because I do not want to include the liberals.
I know, I understand.
Very liberal with how they
dress. I understand, but Islam does not categorize that way. Islam says you're either Muslim or not Muslim.
Islam is
so
Islam.
Either either you're following it or you're not following it. Islam is a package by itself.
Yeah.
You can't say it's like a buffet lunch. I pick some part and leave some part. So if you are a Muslim, don't think it's so much more challenging, the way we put it, especially when we say radical conservative, that's when it becomes difficult. But if you say he's a Muslim and here are the things they need to follow, I don't think there's much of a challenge. Yes, There is difficulty, but I wouldn't say impossible. There are always ways and methods, and it can be easily achieved, inshallah.
And keeping that in mind, we will have to end today's program. I thank you for contributing to this discussion, and also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. If our dear listeners have any suggestions, feedback, or some comments, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir. Alternatively, you can also visit our website, parstoday.com. You can also find us on various social media websites, such as on Twitter and Instagram, under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.